This is an institution of learning, ladies and gentlemen.
Listen to students, listen to parents.
We're seniors. This is our year to slack off.
Listen to teachers, listen to principals.
Okay.
Bueller.
Rarely is the question asked, is our children learning?
Empower us. Don't keep creating a nation of professional test takers.
The best anti-poverty program around is a world-class education.
Hey, let's get schooled on remaking education in America. It's a national priority, as you hear there from the voice of President Obama. And it's why we're looking at education all week long on The Takeaway. Improving America's schools to restore global competitiveness to the U.S. economy is the focus of the Obama administration. And they've put $100 billion in stimulus money on the line to make reform happen. But what are the measures of improvement? And what best practices out there can be relied on to work across the nation? Lots of hard questions, and we're calling on anyone with answers with their hands up this week, including you. This morning, the question is, how high is the bar? Where do American schools sit in comparison with other nations? And how might we measure improvement if we're going to get ambitiously involved in a reform program here in the early months of the Obama administration? Tony Wagner joins us, co-director of the Change Initiative Group at the Harvard Graduate School of Education. He's author of the book, The Global Achievement Gap, Why Even Our Best Schools Don't Teach the New Survival Skills Our Children Need. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning.
And Linda Darling-Hammond joins us, professor of education at Stanford University, former head of President Obama's Transition Team for Education, and author of the book, The Flat World and Education, How America's Commitment to Equity Will Determine Our Future. Good morning.
Good morning.
So two professors, all right, a big question about educational reform. Linda Darling-Hammond, how do American schools stack up to other schools that are comparable?
Well, if you look at the international assessments that are given periodically, the United States does not do all that well. We are about 25th out of the 30 top European nations in achievement in mathematics, about 21st out of 30 in science. We've been dropping each time those international assessments are given, even though our local test scores are going up. And it's partly because those tests internationally are measuring higher order thinking and critical problem solving skills in a way that we have been less focused on at home. The other key piece is that we are more unequal in terms of our educational inputs and our educational outcomes than any other industrialized nation on the globe.
Well, Tony Wagner, going from, say, 25th to 23rd is not much of an improvement. That's a pretty daunting task. How would you measure improvement with those kinds of dreadful comparisons?
Well, I think the first thing, John, is that we have to be very clear about the skills that matter most today for careers, college, and citizenship. We are not testing or teaching the skills that our students will need to be prepared for college, to be prepared for careers in a flat world. And that's one of the things I think the European countries, Finland in particular, have gotten the jump on with us.
All right, no, wait, you mentioned Finland. Finland stands out. What are its numbers?
Well, it's interesting. As Linda will tell you, they are the top-scoring country on all four of the major PISA tests and have been since 2003.
So, Linda, Finland is at the head of the class?
Well, Finland is at the head of the class in Europe, and in Asia you've got places like Singapore and Korea and Hong Kong that are neck and neck with Finland.
Well, we were interested enough in this whole Finland winning the sort of educational sweepstakes business that we actually talked to a Finnish university student who spent some time in an exchange program here in the U.S. during high school. Her very existence is part of this comparison, Alina Lampinen. And here's what she says about her American experience.
I could say that I'd always wanted to go to America because we see all these movies and all these TV shows, and it always shows that everything is so great in America. So I really wanted to experience the high school there. So then they put me in this like super small town in Michigan. It was in math class where when they showed us what we're going to do and gave us homework and we did problems in class, I realized that I've already done this like a year or two ago. So I really got that. It's not that difficult.
Now, Alina is 21 now. She's actually in a university in Finland. Tony, what are we to make of that comparison? I mean, Finland is not exactly, you know, I mean, it's a pretty undiverse nation. It's small. The government has pretty much a free hand on educational policy.
Well, the first thing to understand is that 25 years ago, Finland began a conversation across the country about the need for educational reform, but in a completely different way. They said, look, we have an economy based on chopping down trees. There's no future in that. We're going to have to create an innovation economy, and to do that, we're going to have to transform education, and in order to do that, we're going to have to transform the teaching profession.
So both, that's where Nokia came from.
How we support them.
So that's where Nokia came from.
Exactly. Nokia, Suunto, it is now one of the leading innovation economies in the world, and it all came back to their having a completely different conversation about the kind of education system they were going to need moving forward without blaming anyone, which is very important to understand. They didn't blame the teachers. They just said, we need to improve how we train teachers and how we support them in the workplace ongoing.
That is very compelling. So Linda Darling-Hammond, I'm kind of scratching my eyes here. I mean, is Finland an object lesson for America?
Well, it gives us some lessons. Every place is different. You mentioned that it's more homogeneous. That's true, although there's a very rapidly growing immigrant sector. And one of the interesting things is that even in Helsinki, where there are schools that are predominantly students of color from North Africa and the Middle East, they're still doing as well as their other schools. So another part of the object lesson in Finland is not only do they prepare the teachers exceedingly well, and we make almost no national investment in teacher preparation in this country, but they also distribute them equitably. They distribute funding equitably. Again, we distribute our funding and our teachers very inequitably. So that there are things we can learn from Finland. There are also things we can learn from other countries that are larger and more diverse, which are also very high achieving and much more equitable, and the lessons are similar. Invest in teachers, fund schools equitably, focus on higher order thinking and performance skills.
Best guess before we go, Linda Darling-Hammond, is the Obama administration up to this, yes or no?
Well, the administration is moving forward in some productive ways. The new reauthorization blueprint for the Elementary and Secondary Education Act does call for new assessments. It does call for looking at more common
standards. Like a yes.
Sounds like a yes.
Tony Wagner, what do you think?
A little worried. You know, when the president applauds the firing of every high school teacher in a school district in Rhode Island, I'm worried.
Wow.
Yes, it was a very low-performing district, but here's the question.
Quickly.
Where was the principal? They had four principals in 5 years. Where was the superintendent? Where was the school board? In other words, teachers, to some extent, are only as good as the leadership that we have in these districts.
All right, and we're talking about leadership in education all week long. Tony Wagner, co-director of the Change Leadership Group at Harvard Graduate School of Education. Linda Darling-Hamilton, professor of education at Stanford University. We're getting schooled on education. Thanks so much.
And give us your ideas on what your school needs at 877-8-MY-TAKE or thetakeaway.org. We'll be talking about education with Education Secretary Arne Duncan tomorrow. I'm Celeste Headlee.
I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.